Hello and welcome to another episode of Corgi Town USA. I am Candy. In my lap is Chuckles, our spokes corg.
Yes, and I am Catherine. Next to me is Digby, and somewhere else is our honorary corgi, Indy.
And we have Mortimer Barnabas splooting in the hallway over here next to the studio.
I don't know where Booger is.
Booger, she's probably hiding from Digby and his advances.
Probably hiding from Digby and his advances.
That is unrequited.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, but if you're new here, hi, welcome. We have a new episode every week. We do have frapping corgis in studios. Sometimes we lose equipment. We have done that already recently, so hopefully they're going to take a nice nap during this one. But we'll be right back if they do. It is Corgi Town USA, where the corgis run the town.
That's right.
So we do have Borks, but thanks for sticking with us. We recently celebrated our 100th episode.
That was fun.
Yeah, so we're in season 5 and thought we would do sort of a refresh or update.
Yeah.
If you have been joining us, we appreciate you so much. We did an episode on Kano's story. And Kano was a little pup that needed care, and a family member had asked a coworker, that was Mitch and that was Sophia and Mitch, and they to take care of little Kano.
Yes,
I believe her brother went away, and they took in Kano, and he was in very bad shape. They got him well, and they got him well trained, and they taught him how to be part of a family and be a great dog and enjoy dog life. And then when her brother came back out of, I believe, incarceration,
yes,
if I'm not misspeaking, came back out, and he decided that he wanted Kano back, and there was a court case, and it was quite litigious, and we just wanted to get an update. So last time we had Mitch and Sophia on, they were in a custody battle over Kano, and most of that surrounded around how poorly his health was and how they had to take care of him. But also the family had relegated. They had agreed to right, let him keep. And so we're going to bring Sophia back.
We'll bring Sophia back and get an update as best as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is...
You may notice us watching our words.
Yeah, we're going to, yeah, we want to be respectful. We want to be kind. Mitch and Sophie have been through a lot, and there's definitely a lot going on the legal side. So we're just going to be respectful and just ask questions, find out how they're doing,
yes,
how we can help Submission. Let's bring her back.
Indeed.
Welcome back, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for coming back and letting us abuse you some more. Coming back and telling a painful story.
Yeah,
but we do appreciate you. We feel like we can educate some, get some people involved in the positive parts of the mission on what, yes, can be learned out of this pain.
Right.
So I gave a probably sort of shoddy synopsis for our listeners. We would love for you to kind of synopsize in your own words, since you lived it, what happened, to catch up those listening or viewing that may not have caught the first episode or have been following Kano's story.
Sure. So very briefly, because it is kind of a long, detailed story, like you said, a coworker of mine had asked me to temporarily foster, at the time it was her mother's dog, and I was not prepared for the condition of Kano. When I received him, to say that he had obviously been suffering for quite some time would be an adequate statement. He was very emaciated, very sickly. And we had him for quite a while. And I was lucky enough to meet the woman who was the self-reported owner of Kano. And Mitch and I met her with my coworker at a dog park. And she was so happy to see the progress and see how well Kano was doing. She was in a better health at the time as well. So she was making progress. Her son was still incarcerated, but she was doing well health-wise. And she was just so happy. And she said, wow, he looks so great. You know, I can see how happy he is, and he loves you, and I can see that you love Kano, and keep the dog. And we were elated. I mean, it was definitely a good, positive thing. You know, we had thought about approaching her, about asking, you know, hey, let's make this a permanent thing. And for her, I think, to meet us for the very first time and see the love that was there, I think that speaks volumes. I think the fact that she was willing to see the progress that Kano made and where he was, I think speaks volumes. And unfortunately, in April, we received notice that her brother, my coworker's brother, was claiming that Kano was his dog. And then, as you mentioned, we entered a custody case for Kano. We lost the initial custody case and then we appealed. We tried through perfectly legal means to keep Kano while we were going through the appeal process. We were denied. We weren't really given a reason why. According to what my lawyer at the time stated, all we had to do was pay a bond in order to keep Kano, because like all pets, Kano is considered no different than a pair of scissors. He's an inanimate piece of property. And all you have to do is pay a bond and you can keep that property until the appeal is sought through. And for whatever reason, the court denied us that. And we just found out, actually, it's a little scary, but almost a month ago to the day today, that January 9th, that we were denied also the appeal. So unfortunately, the battle for Kano is over.
So sorry.
It's okay. But I'm not done fighting. And one thing that someone who I befriended through this whole process said, you know, Sophia, I know you're going through a lot, but I have to say, for whatever it's worth, this has been a very big growth for you. You know, it started as just Kano, and it has grown to be so much more. And I think that this is not over yet. And I think big things are coming. And I'm taking that to heart. And I'm going to do the best I can to make sure that there is some change in this animal welfare legislation that this country so desperately needs. Because yeah, something that I learned with Kano is just the state of our shelter system, the state of everything regarding our pets, our family members, whether they're furry or feathered or what have you. It's really quite shockingly deplorable. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially yes, considering we are not, you know, a third world country where you would expect, I guess, some people are saying, well, we're the United States, you know, we're the proprietors and the, you know, we're the example. And we are setting a horrible example for how we treat our family members, essentially. And I think that needs to change. And the tides are turning, which is a good sign. And I would love nothing more than to kind of be a catalyst for that. So that's what I'm hoping we yeah, can, you know, that's the silver lining of all of this, right, you know?
Well, we would never want you to go through all this pain that you have, but I will say that out of pain does come some beautiful change. And yes, so we're here for it. We're yes, here to support it. We want to be part of that. We want to be part of that voice that changes things for the better. That's a big part of what we do here.
That's right. I never knew any of this.
Mm-hmm. You educated
us. I never knew any of this until, you know, we interviewed you. And we have an upcoming show. It's so weird because we have an upcoming show with an attorney that talks about
if you pass
before your pets.
Yes.
How you're so we've got an upcoming show about that, how you're gonna what you're gonna do for them in the will and the trust, how you're going to provide for them. So
we're gonna dig into it.
Yeah, and yes, then you're thinking, oh, well, they're treated more like, you know, they say you do that with family, with children, with no. I mean, Sophia, you
keeping them out of probate like you would.
Yeah, yeah, you opened my eyes to all of this and our listeners, and I'm so grateful for that. Oh. So let's march on and let's
yes,
get justice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing again and going through it. Again, I know how painful it is. So we appreciate you for what you're doing and sharing with those who haven't heard. And I will also, in the description box, I will drop the link for the original episode for anyone listening and for those viewing. So you can actually see the whole story because your attorney had joined us and yes, kind of went into at the time that we recorded the episode. That was last season.
Yes.
Season 4. Yeah. That you were in the middle of court. You were attempting to win and putting everything at it. And then of course lost the case. And do you want to talk about you know, if you want to talk about what happened as far as he's not with you anymore, the aftermath, how you're doing, those kind of things.
Yeah.
I'm prudging very carefully here. We don't want to.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
But you've been punched enough.
At this point, I feel like I'm getting pretty good.
Right.
So there is a lot, I think. I will say, you know, I was the stereotypical good girl. I've never experienced any kind of legal anything. I've been very fortunate in my life. So this was, when I say a learning curve, it was like a learning tsunami that just like never seemed to stop. So I have learned a lot. I was speaking to someone who I was looking to partner with, and they were going through some personal things, and unfortunately didn't work out, which is fine. But I said, you know, if Kano's going to be only a chapter in my life, well, my God, was he a beautiful chapter, and he taught me a lot. And one of the things that he taught me was that pets are considered property, an inanimate object. They're no different than your TV, your spatula, your pencil, in the eyes of the law in the United States. And that is straight across the board. We do not have any kind of standard legal practices or laws as far as regarding custody. Yes, there was a 2019 animal welfare law that was signed into about animal cruelty and sentencing. I think people try and defer that when they hear cases like mine and say, oh, well, you know, you could have just reported. And without going into too much detail, I will tell you that that is not very helpful. So yes, there are laws that exist that are supposed to protect our pets from things like
that. How enforceable are they? Right.
They are not enforced at all. And I can tell you that from personal experience. I can't tell you how many people I've met through this process that have said the same thing. I have called. I've tried to get in touch with a humane officer. I've tried reporting. It's just, it's not considered important enough for people in the power to do something about it to actually do something. And I find that very disturbing. It speaks a lot to our psychology and such as a society and a species. And I think it's wrong. And I think it needs to be fixed. But there's just no laws. There's no real protection. And there's no, like you said, we're not actually upholding what laws, what little bit there is.
Right.
There's a reason our shelter system is in a state of crisis that it is. There's a reason why, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing all the animal cruelty cases come up on my feed. I'm seeing Chandler 55 in Arizona. You know, these fake rescues, these hoarding cases, these dog fighting arenas, these underground, you know, compounds where there's dog fighting and unfortunately sexual abuse and physical abuse and neglect. It's horrible. And it's, you can't turn a blind eye from it anymore. It's there. It shouldn't be, but it is everywhere. It is rampant. And I really think that we're at a crux. I think certain states are starting to open up their eyes a little bit and saying, hey, I think we got to change some things. The tides are definitely turning. Other countries are waking up. The U.S. is actually one of the few countries that does not view animals as sentient beings, ironically enough. There's 32 and growing so far that have made legal. I think Spain was the most recent to actually say, like, hey, we legally recognize that they are sentient beings. And there's enough research there to show that it does. It's undeniable.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's very strange to me that legally they're considered property, but if someone catches me and witnesses me beating a dog, well, now it's animal cruelty. It's no longer property damage. So the laws are contradictory. There's not enough to protect them. In cases, we just had one here on the East Coast where another rescue was found to actually not be so, not be doing what they're supposed to be doing. There was a lot of dogs seized in horrible conditions. Some were already deceased. And they got a fine, a slap on the wrist, and 5-year probation. So they just can't own an animal for 5 years. To me, that's grossly I mean, come on. You know, I mean, that's just so wrong. That's not even.
And the risk to me there is when you have people that learn how to abuse a certain system, something like having a rescue, and which is even a 501(c), you have some books to manage, money in, money out. You're probably receiving donations, people that care. You've learned how to abuse it. And now you've learned how far you can get away with it. So the risk is that what's going to stop you from turning around and doing that again?
Yeah, 5 years. In 5 years,
they'll have another
one. They'll have another one.
And then people would have forgotten. So they don't even know your face and what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Of course.
Or you move to another state. It's too easy.
Well, and the good news here, we know that this happens, is that we do have a hugely supportive network of not only corgi lovers, but animal lovers in general. We put our animals first, and so we have the helpers. So what was that, Mr. Rogers, that when he would get sad, was it Mr. Rogers?
I think so, yeah.
His mother said, look for the helpers. When you see disasters, look for the helpers. We're going to look for the helpers. We're going to try to be the helpers. We have a lot of wonderful people in our network too. And I'm sure that our rescue friends, Susan from Queen's Best, and we have Melissa from East Coast Corgi Rescue, so many others of you out there doing that. We can't thank you enough, but when you're doing the right thing, I can only imagine how much more disturbing it is when they find out a case like that.
Right.
And with the Chandler case that you mentioned, there was the lady in Chandler that had, I mean, just way too many dogs that were not being cared for. Handicapped dogs. There were some handicapped, she had some young dogs.
Yeah.
Primarily. Yep. Special needs dogs.
And I will say that I'm not sure the update at this point. We should probably do some sort of update with somebody who knows the kind of the intimate details of the case. But of course, I was piped in because everybody sends me these things when they happen. But I think that the good news is that lawmakers were pressed on enough until someone did something and they came in and seized. So that gives me hope that some do listen.
Yes. I think that's what the beautiful thing, if you can take away anything, or at least what I've taken away from this whole experience, is if you unite and there is something about a group of women, I mean, it is really like, as a woman, it is so, I mean, most people that are working in animal welfare are women.
Yeah.
Typically, it's a very woman-led industry or organization, whatever you want to call it. But because those women would not take no for an answer, there are changes being made for Chandler ordinances as far as, you know, how many animals can you have, yada, yada, yada. April is being charged federally, I believe, at this point.
She did get federal charges. Okay.
They originally dismissed. And that's where that comes into handy. And that's all well and dandy. But, you know, it was obviously very disappointing to see her initially be released, and then legally, she has the right to try and reclaim the 13 dogs that she wanted to regain custody of. And thankfully, that judge ruled on the side of not only logic, but what is, ironically, what we were fighting for and are fighting for is what was the best interest of those animals. And they ruled that she should be denied access and custody of those remaining dogs. So it looks like that case, at least so far, is going in the right direction. A lot of things are. I mean, Canada, I had a girl reach out. She goes by Hi, I'm Rocco on Instagram. And she had reached out to me and said, hey, you know, I'm in a custody battle. My boyfriend gifted me my Rocco, and he passed away very suddenly and tragically. And now they're taking me to court and trying to say that he is part of his deceased estate as just a piece of property of his estate. And they're going to, I mean, court over Rocco, who they have no, in my opinion, I mean, they have no reason to try and deny her guardianship or custody.
Right.
I mean, she's his mom, you know, she's the only woman he's ever known. She raised him. So
seems unnecessarily litigious to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the flip side, as a grief counselor, on the flip side, I can say, when you're in the middle of grief, people do dumb things. People do things that they think are going to help their heart to heal. So, you know, to the parents or the family who lost her fiancé, you know, who lost their son, you know, we need to send them love and we need to send them light. Hope it was a gift. So that, you know, that is a whole other legal realm. Like, no, this was a gift, just like, you know, the ring was a gift, or, you know, this TV or whatever was a gift.
Especially since the law looks at it that way.
Right. If the law is going to look at it that way, then the law needs to look at it all the way that way. Mm-hmm. So it was, tell us the name of the Instagram again.
It's Hi, I'm Rocco. Her name's Alicia Verma.
Hi, I'm Rocco. So
yes, she's from Ontario, Canada.
let's show Alicia some love and support.
I'll find the Instagram and drop it in the description box, but I'll reach out first to make sure that she doesn't mind that we do that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I've met a lot of great, I've met you guys, which I can't thank enough. I'm so grateful for the people that I have met that have been really, just really wonderful. I mean, total strangers, and it's gotten me to be out of my comfort zone and reach out and say like, hey, like, I see that you're going through this. You know, I just want to reach out and say like, if you ever want to vent about it. And I think the silver lining of this whole thing that we've gone through, because it did upheave our life. I mean, personally, financially, emotionally, you know, our work, just it affected everything. I mean, it just, how can it not? The one good thing is I am now real, like, I'm seeing, you know, it's time to get back to work. I really did hit a wall, and I took on too much in the middle of probably what should have been my grieving time.
Yeah.
I hit a wall. I mean, there's really just no other way to put it. I was just exhausted. I didn't have, like, we were talking earlier about the spoon theory. I had no more spoons. I was trying with a fork and wondering, why can't I pick up this soup? Yeah. So I hit a wall. That's probably why you've noticed I haven't really been very present on social media. I just, it's been a lot, but I am ready to get back into it, and I'm ready to do it. I've been starting for the past like month or so. And the exciting thing is I am gathering a group of women and any kind of animal advocate, anyone who's passionate about animal welfare in general in this country.
Yeah.
I'm looking to get someone from every state so that we can have all states united represented. And we are going to put in sort of like a bill of rights that we would like proposed federally. And while Kano's law, you know, is a great, it was a great initiative, I think we need to do more.
Okay.
I think it's so much more that we need.
All right.
So
we're here for it. I'll get you on Arizona. We'll talk about it.
I'm here on the broadcast voluntolding Eric, who has a lot of connections. My
here.
Fiance, poor guy.
Not even in the studio.
No, poor thing. But I'm voluntolding. He has a lot of connections in the agility arena and a lot of dog friends. So I'm gonna put him to work with that.
Yeah. That would be amazing. Thank you.
Yep.
We will help. We're here for it. So since we're talking about this, let's talk about, we don't want to keep you all night and keep rehashing and making you relive, but let's talk about how we can, so we have Kano's Law. Tell us kind of what Kano's Law is exactly. So, and then tell us, let's give our listener viewer, how can we support, how we can change things? How can we help?
Perfect. Thank you. So Kano's Law is quite, like, boiled down. It's when there is a custody case involving a companion animal, so one that's considered a pet, like a dog or a cat, the best interest of that animal should be considered. And I hope that some of our listeners are going, why wouldn't that? Like, hello?
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because that is not considered right now in this country, anywhere, in any state, really. I think Iowa is the only one that now does. And the reason is because they are only considered property. They're not considered to have feelings or thoughts. They're not even considered alive. They're just considered inanimate things. So Kano's Law aims to change that and say, hey, you have to look at both parties' history of animal abuse, domestic violence, which we know scientifically go hand in hand. We need to look at which party can provide proper medical care, consistent, you know, housing, such things as that. What's going to be the best interest of the animal? You know, they have feelings, they have bonds with certain right. people, and that should be taken into consideration. I can't tell you how many people, and I'm sure you can speak to this as a grief counselor, but we do things out of anger when relationships end.
Yes.
At least some of us, I would like to think that I would not, but you never know. Some people get angry. Some people say, oh, well, I bought you little Rufus or, you know, whoever. Yeah. And now I want him back, whether they actually are bonded with the animal or not. And according to the laws, if they can provide paperwork saying, hey, here's my receipt with my name on it, it's no questions asked, they get full custody of that animal. So I'm just asking the courts to maybe take a second, 10 seconds extra, and just really look at it and say, well, yeah. is that actually in the best interest of the animal? Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
Sentient beings, I think, is what we talked about last yeah. episode. Yep. They're sentient beings.
So, you know, from a grief perspective, it's not just the person who's losing the dog. It's not just you and Mitch who are grieving. It's the dog. It's the cat. From that perspective, they absolutely grieve. I've witnessed it myself. They absolutely grieve the same as we do. Yes. And if the new old owner does nothing horrible again, they are still grieving because mm-hmm. they made a connection. In their mind, this person, I got to sleep with one eye open. In their mind, Sophia and Mitch, they're my mommy and daddy. And that hurts the animal as well as the humans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And
that's a great point.
We know that, I mean, I'm a dog trainer. We know how, we see how animals bond with, and I call them parents. So let's change that from owners,
yes.
right?
Yes.
It's the very definition. It's not, yes. not owners. They're sentient beings. They're not objects. And yeah. so if we shift that from pet owner to pet parent,
yes,
it's a different narrative. And I see it. I see how they bond. I see how that evolution happens and mm-hmm. what that looks like. And the bond and the grief, it's like taking a child away from a parent.
Yes.
That is real. And I'm sure our friends in rescue can attest to that because some cases come to them because of like our lawyer friend we are going to talk to, sometimes it's not abuse. Sometimes it's something happens to the previous parent. And then they're in a new situation and that poor animal's grieving and they don't even understand the death and life cycle process. They just know that that person, that being that they were attached to is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the laws, I think it will get there. I really do. But I think that people have to unite and I think that they have to not be afraid to speak because we know that they cannot speak in a way that the lawmakers will hear, right? So we have to be their voice and their advocates.
We do.
And the only way we're really going to see change is if we all unite. There are a lot of amazing, wonderful organizations with just unbelievable causes. I mean, they're doing incredible work. I mean, these are people that have full-time jobs and then they're doing this on top of it. I mean, they are just, I mean, heroes and definitely inspirational, at least for me. And I think if all of these big, wonderful organizations got together and just united and said, hey, this is what we're all going for the same goal. We're just going about it a little bit different. We might have a slightly different perspective or avenue, whether it's, you know, malpractice, because there's no real medical malpractice laws for animals either. It's unregulated. And I'm learning a lot about that now as well. Wow. It's just, if we all just got together at a united front, can you imagine instead of these fragmented 10,000 supporters here, 50,000 supporters here, if we all united and had several million and we approached our lawmakers and said, hey, you cannot ignore us anymore. We're too loud. We're too loud. You can't ignore us. This is what you need to do. You know, you're supposed to be, it's United States of America for liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, it's absolutely
for all.
I can. These are antiquated laws is what comes to mind with me, because, you know, cattle and, you know, especially here out in Arizona, cattle and, you know, stealing cattle and robbing your livestock. Okay, that made sense.
Assets.
200 years ago, boys and girls.
Right.
That's when it made sense. Not now.
There's got to be some evolution of humanity.
Right. And there is. There is livestock. We acknowledge that. There is that investment.
We have that problem with animal breeders.
And we have that problem with animal breeders.
Where Sophia is, so there's a big Amish community, and we don't mean to shame the Amish, but they look at animals as commodities, not sentient beings, and that causes a lot of problems with overbreeding, crossbreeding, poor breeding. Big problem why our shelters and rescues are full.
Oh, the backyard breeding is awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, just straight across the board. I'm sure you guys see it where you are, but I mean,
we have more laws here than you do in your region, though.
That's,
we do.
That's about breeding. Crazy. Yeah.
And where are the officers and the people that have the power? Because we do not have, as citizens, as regular citizens, we do not have the right to rescue. So I can't tell you how many cases I've heard where someone's like, I have called and called and called. My neighbor has a dog chained up in the middle of the snow. There is a bowl of a couple drips of mildewy, dirty water and a couple pieces of kibble and trash. And when the officers come by, they go, well, there is technically a bowl of water there. The animal's being fed. And it's like, no, come on. We all know that. We got to close up these loopholes. I mean, that's just. Yes.
What is legal isn't necessarily always right. And what is right is not always legal. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And I think if we're not asking ourselves those questions, and that was a beautiful way to say it, then there's something wrong. We should absolutely be saying, well, why is there such a discord between what is morally right and our laws? Shouldn't the laws represent our morality? Shouldn't it be that, you know, it's encouraging our citizens to do the right thing and showing them like, hey, if you do not do the right thing, there will be a consequence to that and a reasonable consequence.
Yeah.
I just don't think so far what we have represents that at all. And that definitely needs to change. I mean, it's just, our shelters can't keep up with what's going on. Our rescuers cannot keep up with the intake. You know,
they are low on spoons as well.
Yeah, they're very low
chronically.
On spoons.
Yeah, chronically.
Their spoons are spotted.
Yes, on back order. So how can we help? Let's end this with a call to action. How can we support? So you talked about getting people involved in each state. We can certainly broadcast this and ask where do we go from there? Do we drop Kano's Law down? We know that we can follow you on Instagram. How do we move forward for the call to action?
Sure. I would say, so if there is somebody out there who is willing to say, hey, I live in such and such state and I want to be part of this. I want to be part of this mission. I want to see where this goes. I want to take Kano's Law to the next level and I want to be part of this. Right now it's Bill of Rights for animal welfare, but we want a comprehensive animal welfare legislation put into place at a federal level. If you want to be part of that, I'll include my email address for Kano's Law. We are rallying people right now. We're having a meeting at the end of the month. We're looking to make it a regular thing so that we can start proposing this legislation and getting everything needed that we can to start really, you know, getting it out there. I think people need to see that. Here it is. I want one simple thing. It's comprehensive. It's going to deal with custody. It's going to deal with medical malpractice. It's going to deal with theft or kidnapping of a pet, which is another huge thing that I didn't even know was going on in this country, but I'm learning through this. So I want something that is going to take all these goals from all these organizations and put it just right there in Congress's hand and just say, here you go. All you have to do is sign.
Yep.
And basically do their job for them, and all they have to do is sign and have it done. If you want to be part of that, I'll give you my email address so that they can say, hey, I want to represent my state.
Tell us what that email address is. I will drop it in the description box of both the audio platforms, if sure. anybody listens to an app, as well as YouTube. But for those listening that maybe want to jot it down, go ahead.
Sure. It's Kano's Law Pets Our Family at gmail.com. And I can definitely, you know.
K-A-N-O.
K-A-N-O. Yes. Yep. Okay. And you can reach out to me on my Instagram. You can reach out to me on Kano's Law on change.org. I'm going to start posting updates on that and trying to recruit as well. We do thankfully have a good group started, and there are some passionate women out there. So, and they have some really unique perspectives just coming from different angles I never even knew about. Yeah. So I'm coming from a custody issue. I have people from medical malpractice. I have rescue. I have all kinds of things. So, I'm so looking forward to seeing, you know, picking these women's brains and seeing, okay, what are the issues in this country and what would help resolve them or at least soften the blow? And how are we going to get to a better place? You know, yeah. We're only as good as our treatment of others. You know, we should be building each other up, and whether you think we're the top, you know, of the food chain or whatnot, you know, a lot can be said for how we treat our animals and the ones that are needy, whether it's the homeless or children or women, whatever your group is. I think it speaks volumes when you're seeing the cruelty at this level. Yes. And I'd like to see that changed.
And strength in numbers.
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah. Well, I will drop that down in the description box. We want to let you get back to your evening so that you take a deep breath. Thank you for going back down that. Thank you for everything we're doing. We're going to stay piped in and involved as much as we can so that we can help. But thanks again, Sophia, so much for everything that you're doing.
Thank you, Sophia. Cool.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always such a pleasure to be here with you guys. And I just love everything that you guys are doing as well. And education is so huge. So thank you for, you know, putting that information out there and educating the public, because that's a huge, like we said, I never knew prior to this experience that pets were just property. And there's so many other things for, I think people would be shocked to learn.
Yeah.
So thank you for, you know, showing and putting a light on that as well, because there is power and knowledge, and
it reaches the right ears.
That's right. Right.
Well, you have a great evening. Tell Mitch we said hi. Big hugs.
Big hugs.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of that. Again, I will drop in the description box the link of the original episode we did when they were in court, so you can get more of the story. We cover more of the details there that was happening. And I will also drop the Instagram and the email address. At the very least, please follow Kano's Law so that you kind of stay piped in. I know that everybody has very full lives of things going on. Maybe you want to get involved. At the very least, follow strength in numbers. You're helping us get it out there. And we hope that you found this episode heartwarming and informative.
And I was going to say change.org is a petition site. So look it up on change. If you have a moment, it doesn't take a lot. Look it up on change.org. And that I've seen those petition sites do a lot of good.
Why is your mic over here?
I don't know. It keeps, it just keeps
moving. It's,
you know,
creeping.
It's on its own. It just, anyway.
Well, we're here for you every week. We'll see you next Thursday. Candy, Cat, Chuckles, Mortimer, Booger,
Digby, and Indy.
See you next week.
Go through the list. Bye.
Bye.